I always tell my clients, like, imagine a pitcher of water and a glass on the table, right? Instead of giving from your glass, just continue pouring self-care into yourself and give from the overflow. If you're full, you're going to have so much more to give over giving from your reserves.
The Sweetest and Toughest Job, a podcast dedicated to exploring the different facets of pregnancy, postpartum, and parenting. My goal is to provide information and perspectives to help support parents in an open and non-judgmental environment. I'm Rachel, and I'm so glad you're here to join me on this journey as we explore the sweetest and toughest job. Today, I have Michelle Perta joining us. Michelle is a life coach who helps women be happier in their relationships by teaching them how to empower themselves through heightened self-awareness and effective communication. These two areas were things she struggled with in relationships because she wasn't shown or taught them at home or school. Now she wants to help moms everywhere so that they can enjoy their marriage through every stage of motherhood and teach their kids how to do the same. So hi, Michelle.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you for joining. And I'm excited to talk about this topic because it's like my whole podcast is pregnancy, parenting, and postpartum. So you often think about just those things related to baby. But I think a huge part of it is our relationship and kind of how we get to baby, right? Which includes your spouse or your partner. And then that whole relationship often changes and manifests after child, so, or children.
Yeah, for sure. We easily forget about that aspect because we get tunnel vision, our instincts kick in, and we're like, okay, survival mode. How do we take care of this baby? And then you don't even realize over time that you've totally neglected the person that you created the person with, and you become co-parents and roommates. And that's not what you sign up for when you get engaged or married.
Absolutely. So maybe we can just start by you maybe telling a little bit more about yourself and your background and how you became a marriage coach. And I know you mentioned in the bio, some of it was kind of related to your background.
Yeah. So funny thing is, you know, I was on maternity leave with every intention of going back to my 9 to 5. And then the baby came and I'm like, nope, not leaving you. And after dabbling in a couple areas, you know, the universe was just pushing me towards looking into life coaching because I've always been that kind of person who was a sounding board for people. I never told people what they wanted to hear. I thought that they should know what they need to hear. And so I've always had that perspective of like, okay, but what was your side of things? You know, like where could you have shown up differently? And once I realized life coaching was the route I wanted to go, I realized quickly from the people I helped that helping moms with their marriage was the topic that I wanted to cover because I saw single-handedly from my parents just how much of an impact their relationship had on my life. They ended up getting divorced when I was about 10 or 12. And I realized that the habits that I witnessed and just their general interactions with each other really affected how I showed up in my relationships. And, you know, not having any self-awareness or watching my parents have any self-awareness, I thought, oh, it must be these people that I'm dating. I'm dating the wrong people, you know, and although that might have been true, the common denominator was me. And so only once I did the deep work and worked on myself and read all the books and, you know, did all the things that I needed to do to work on my communication and my self-awareness and accountability and all that hard stuff, you know, tears later, did my relationships start to really flourish. And I attribute all that work that I did to the marriage that I have today, which was then challenged once I had become a mom. And so it's like, I had to really take a look at, well, how does life look like now as juggling being a parent while still having a marriage, but not letting either one fall by the wayside. And so I really love helping moms realize that they can prioritize their marriage and they should prioritize their marriage because it is the number one relationship that impacts your life, like your satisfaction with your life, as well as what your kids are going to grow up thinking how a relationship functions, right? So it's going to affect what they look for in a partner, how they treat a partner, how they are treated from their, like by their partner. So it really does have an impact. And I think we all have it backwards. Like our natural instinct is kind of backwards, where we shouldn't focus on the child. We should focus on our marriage. Of course, take care of your child, make sure they're all well and good. But in terms of intention and priority, I think it should be on your marriage.
Definitely. And I mean, that's hard to do because you, especially as a first-time parent, and it can get more complicated with subsequent, you know, children as well, because there are just more balls in the air, more scheduling and all of that. But let's just start like speaking to maybe you're a first-time mom and you're about to go through this transition. And what that can kind of be like, because obviously, as you're kind of describing too, like your center of your universe shifts, right? It's of course you two, and then you bring baby home, and all of a sudden there's a life you're caring for, and oftentimes that's like the number one priority, obviously, as it should be. They can't survive on their own, so
right. Yeah.
So let's talk about like just navigating that.
Yeah, so the first several months is tough because you're like knee deep in diapers, and if you're nursing, then you're doing that, or you're feeding, you know, your baby formula, whatever it is your approach is, you're feeding the baby, you're changing the diapers, you're changing the outfits because you're having blowouts. You're just constantly thinking about this other person's needs. And yes, the first few months is a huge adjustment, and it does require clear communication between you and your partner because you're going to need help. You're going to end up feeling resentful because it seems like you're the only one that can do anything, right? But what I mean by prioritizing in this type of season, it means having those channels open so that he can help you where you need it. He can be that support system for you however you need it, whether it be emotionally or getting you water or, mm-hmm. you know, like watching the baby so you can take a shower without worrying. I mean, all of these things are really important, and doing quick check-ins, it doesn't mean spend more time with your partner than your kid. What I mean is have that time be meaningful. Don't just drop it because you're tired, right? Whatever it means, like 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, have your mom or mother-in-law watch the baby for like an hour while they're napping so you can go get a quick bite to eat with just your partner so that you can have like a date. Dates might not look the same anymore, but you have to have that intention of we need one-on-one time so that we're solid for our child. Because if you're not solid, then things just kind of go haywire and things are worse. So as a new mom, it does look different, but it is really important to keep top of mind.
And I like that you bring up the point because you often don't think like you have to ask, you know, and I think that's a really, I actually hadn't really thought about that until you sort of brought it up. But I think especially becoming a new mom, sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves that like we have to do everything. And, you know, I'm, especially if you're maybe breastfeeding or whatever, you're usually like the primary caregiver to an infant or newborn. But that's a great suggestion, is to like have that open communication and to ask your partner what you need or let them know what you need, so that they're kind of clued in. Cause I think too, dads and partners can feel a little bit helpless in the beginning because
yes.
they don't know what to do to help.
Absolutely. I mean, it starts from when you realize you're pregnant, all mm-hmm. the changes are happening inside of you. You're already starting to transform how you do things, from what you eat, what you're willing to do, what situations you won't or will put yourself in, all, you know, due to keeping the baby safe and thriving. And so meanwhile, they're still being them because nothing really is changing for them except for maybe you're a little bit moodier, you're having some yeah. cravings, changing, like you're changing, but there's just so much transformation happening so much earlier for the mom than the husband. And then the baby comes and it's like, we as women think differently naturally, right? We're groomed from an early age that we are nurturers, and instinctively we're better at multitasking. So if he thinks that you got it, then he's going to be like, okay, like, where do I fit in? I'm just going to keep doing me until you say something otherwise. So it is really important to fill them in on what it's like to be you, because I hear from women like on a daily basis, I feel like I'm doing it all. My husband does nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, did you ask? Does he even know what it's like to be you? Because if you don't give them the opportunity to help, guess what they're going to get used to? Not helping. But to them, it's like, they don't see that as not helping. They just see that as, oh, she's got that. That's her thing. I'm going to do these things.
Right.
So, you know, if you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no. And if you don't lean on him as a partner, he's not going to have an opportunity to practice being that for you.
What do you think about, and do you see a lot of times like problems when a baby comes and the attention's too much? I don't want to say too much focused on baby, but there can become a rift when one of the partners feels like they're just being abandoned almost. Like,
yeah. So I think when the second that you realize that that might be happening, you need to address it. You do. You have to talk about it. You have to say, hey, you know, I've been noticing that you've been doing XYZ or not been doing XYZ, or you seem kind of down. Like, how has this experience been for you? What do you need? I think it's really important to just touch on that and come together to connect and figure out how to solve this in a way that's sustainable, right? Like, baby's not going to stay needy like that on that level forever.
Right.
Right. The first few months sucks. I'm going to say it. It sucks.
Yeah.
Like, depending on the baby that you have, like mine was a crier. Bedtime was horrible, but it wasn't like that for, you know, he's not like that anymore. So I think it's really important to know that every season is temporary and you get to look forward to things. You get to plan things with your partner. And sometimes it's okay to leave your baby crying with your mother-in-law because your sanity is just as important, right? Like, they're going to get over it. And if you have a bond with other relatives, you still need to have your you time and you still need to have your time with your partner. Like, all of these things are important to continue developing, even as you're helping this child get bigger and stay healthy and you know, all of the things.
For sure. I think too, I wonder if some couples have a hard time, and maybe it's one partner more than the other, of like, you do go through sort of a loss of like what you had, because your life changes a lot. Like, no, you're not going out whenever you want, you know, you're not staying out as late at night. You have to still, you know, find childcare if you want to go out by yourself. Maybe like you can't go to the gym or go grab those drinks after work. You have to come home because you have a child now. Mm-hmm. So I think that seems like that can often be a balancing act for couples and partners. And as the kids get older too, because obviously kids are like a lifelong thing. Like,
yes.
yes. The newborn phase is short, but like they're still your kids. Like that kind of life before kids is over once you have kids.
It is, but it's still important to still have little snapshots of that wherever you can, because as much as it is good to be a family person, I think it's good to remember who you are as an individual as well. Whether it be in your relationship as a mom or in your relationship as a wife, you still have to remember who you are, because that person is what created all of this life around you. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not every single weekend. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe it's, you know, bi-monthly, but something needs to happen. Like for me personally, I make a strong effort to go out at least once a month with a girlfriend just to like get that part of me back, because the happier you are, the happier your house will be. If you're like putting all this stress on yourself to be everything to everyone, but no one to yourself, how good are you to your family? You're just going to be stressed out, maybe yelling all the time, maybe a little bit cranky. no patience. Like, really, how good are you to your family if you're running on empty all the time?
For
sure. So I always tell my clients, like, imagine a pitcher of water and a glass on the table, right? Instead of giving from your glass, just continue pouring self-care into yourself and give from the overflow. If you're full, you're going to have so much more to give mm-hmm. over giving from your reserves.
I love that advice too, because, and I think it goes back to what we started with the communication piece, is like really communicating with your partner about what you need.
Yes.
And you raised such a good point about like what makes you as an individual full. Like, for my personal relationship with my husband, like, yeah, he's a social person. He loves going out with friends, but he doesn't need it as much as I need like my girl time. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to go out with my girlfriends, you know, every so often, you know, to have girl talk and just do that. And that fulfills me and makes me feel great and more energized. And of course we have our date nights too, but like that piece I need more than like he does going out with a guy group, you know? So
yeah, we each have different needs, and it's important to make sure that our individual needs are met.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Cause I mean, I fully subscribe to happy spouse, happy house. Like, that is just how it goes. The kids, whatever you set to be normal will be normal. Like, you're the parents, you get to set the culture. So if it's normal for mom and dad to like leave you overnight with your grandparents once a month, that's normal. You know, like that's our thing. Like, we don't have weekly dates yet, but right now we have weekend dates monthly. So like the kids will be watched mm-hmm. by someone who we trust, who they can have fun with. And then we get to do like, I don't know, we get to spend like 2 days and a night together doing whatever we feel like remembering what it was like before kids, and just mm-hmm. go have fun.
That's awesome. I love that. It's a good idea. So what are some of the things that you as a marriage coach like hear a lot that listeners could really maybe relate to or think like, oh, I thought that was just me, but it's probably not just them.
Yeah. I mean, feeling feeling resentful that they're doing all the things and their husband is not doing anything. I hear mm-hmm. that a lot. I also hear about having the same fights over and over again. Maybe their husband not opening up or not really listening, and just conversations going stale because it's not productive. Like, these are a lot of common things that I hear. Or just not even feeling connected. Like, what happened to our marriage? Like, how did mm-hmm. we get here? That's a lot of the stuff that I help women with.
And what's your suggestion if like you're kind of having some of these issues, you try talking to your partner or your spouse and you're not really getting anywhere, they don't want to go to like a therapist? Cause I do have friends that are kind of in that situation where the spouse or partner is like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. We don't need help kind of thing.
Yes.
What are like, I mean, obviously what you do is wonderful, cause I'm sure you like the woman could just contact you, or one of the partners yes. could contact you and you could work individually, but
right.
are there other like suggestions of how to navigate that?
Yeah. So I'll give two tips for this one. For women who feel like their husbands aren't quite on the same page as them, I would A, get really curious, and B, show a lot of compassion, right? Where show mm-hmm. empathy, because if people are closing up, there's a reason for that. Maybe they don't feel safe having this discussion with you. And get curious, like, what's their experience in all of this? How are they impacted by this? It's not just you. It takes two, right? Mm-hmm. Could it be something in the past between you guys? Could it be something in their childhood or even in the former relationship? Like, is it their baggage that they're bringing in? We all have baggage, and we need to have awareness around what we're bringing into the relationship that may or may not be fair to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think those two intentions alone could single-handedly reconnect you guys, because it's really easy when you're upset to quickly demonize the other person. Like, they're mm-hmm. doing this to me. I can't believe that they did that. Don't they know I whatever? you know, why don't they love me enough to do whatever it is? But when you get in this mode, you start only to think about yourself and you victimize yourself. And that is very disempowering to do. So what I work on with my clients is how to empower themselves to know that they have a choice in every single scenario they have to either choose to create more conflict or to connect with their partner. So I would say that would be the thing to focus on if they don't want to seek outside help.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good advice. And another thing I was thinking about is a lot of times, you know, you can talk about raising kids and all that before the kid comes, but sometimes that changes once the actual child is there, or maybe you encounter situations that you didn't anticipate and you have to make decisions about. So parenting styles can a lot of times be different, and maybe you're not like seeing eye to eye on things. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So whenever this happens, because it's bound to happen, like you are raised by different parents and you guys have different philosophies, maybe. So when this happens, my husband and I personally go through what is it that we're trying to accomplish here. We look bigger picture instead of like more on the granular level, right? Especially if we can't agree on something. What are we trying to accomplish here? What kind of person are we trying to mold this person to be? What are the values that we're trying to strive towards? Now let's work backwards so that we can figure out a way that we're both happy with, like what kind of action or discipline or whatever are we happy with together that supports that. And it might look like getting really creative. So you take the criteria that you both want to achieve and you somehow make it work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a puzzle. You kind of have to figure it out. But this builds partnership. It truly does. Instead of thinking my ways or the highway, like you could come up with something that you never even thought was possible because you put your heads together.
Mm-hmm. Like compromising, basically.
Yeah. I mean, but still holding your ground on like, this is what's really important for me. Not necessarily the method, but the value or the lesson or, you know, the character that you're trying to build in your child. That alone needs to be the focus, not on how it's done, but is that being accomplished? So getting really honest with yourself about what's important, not being right, but like, I always say this, you can either be right or have the right relationship. So what is your focus?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Right or the right relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I think can be challenging with kids and marriage is going from like 1 to 2 or 2 to 3, because as a first-time parent, you're 2-on-1, right? So there's two of you, one kid, and it can be maybe like, it's overwhelming for sure, but it can maybe be easier to like divide and conquer. But when you go to 2 or 3 even, I'm about to go to 3. I don't know how that is yet, but there can often be more that the spouse or the partner needs to do. So I think that could also be something that might be tricky to navigate.
Absolutely. But I mean, just imagine how you treat work, right? If you work, there's always going to be projects coming in and there's always going to be complications that you're like, oh, that doesn't seem as easy as I thought it would be. It just takes planning. That's all it is. It comes down to having that communication with your spouse, like, and systems in place. Do you need a shared calendar? Do you need to have like a weekly meeting where you're like, okay, this is everything that we have going on. How are we going to do this in a way that it works for us? Maybe it's splitting up. Maybe it's asking for help. Maybe it's not doing it, right? Like I really feel like less is more when you have a bunch of young kids. Like, is it really in the best interest for the family to go to every single party? Probably. Mm-hmm. Right? Like there is something nice about having a lazy day and just saying, this is our priority. Like downtime is just as important as go, go, go time. So I think it's really important to just be on the same page with your partner about, is this really important? Like if it's a family function, it's really important. Like grandma's 90th birthday, like it's never going to happen again. Yeah, you're going to make it work, right? But do the kids need to be in a million sports? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all about what is in alignment with your mission statement for your family? Do you even have a mission statement, right? Like, I think it's really important to have something to focus on. Like, does this work towards that? Does it support that? If not, then let's not do it.
Mm-hmm. I like that, a mission statement for your family. So mm-hmm. you mean just like basically getting together and saying like, what is this?
Yeah, I think having that about. Yeah, what's the joint intention for the family? Because without intention, you're just going to be on autopilot feeling like you're going crazy all the time. That's no fun.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's like, that's another thing that can happen as life gets busier and with kids. And also like once you've been married for a good amount of time, you know, honeymoon phase is over. but I have friends that we've, you know, talked and it's like, gosh, like me and my spouse are just like kind of ships passing in the night, you know, like that whole kind of, I'll say a quote unquote rut that you can get in, where you feel sort of stagnant, and that's tough. And maybe, I know probably your advice there is like, make sure you have that time you can set aside, right? I don't know. Are there other suggestions?
I mean, no, there's no way around it. You have to spend time with each other. Does it mm-hmm. need to look like a couple hours a week? No. It could look like, you know, going to bed 5 minutes earlier so you guys can cuddle or you guys can talk or you guys can have sex. Like, do something to connect. Mm-hmm. Having it for us, for dates, we always make sure we schedule the next one out before our date is even over. So we know it's going to happen. We don't leave it up to like, oh, it's kind of been a while, huh? We should probably get on that and forget, right? So we don't leave anything up to our own memory. We just make sure it gets done.
I like that. That's yeah. And scheduling is a thing. I mean,
it really is.
You do have to schedule more. Everything.
Yeah, you schedule everything that's important, so why not schedule time in? Mm-hmm. I mean, it might sound silly, but if that's what works for you, do it. I mean, schedule time for sex, schedule time to watch TV with him, like whatever works for you guys. You can be as granular or like macro as much as you want. If it's important to you and you are really like type A about your calendar, go do that.
Mm-hmm. But it's a good point to that like it doesn't have to be a few hours that you're going out to the nicest restaurant in town and you're like having this romantic date. Because that's just not realistic for anyone.
It's not sustainable. Maybe when the kids are older and they can be left alone for longer with other people, I think that's fine. But like sometimes like my husband and I will hang out by watching a show together after the kids are asleep. Or maybe we'll hang out by cleaning the kitchen together. You know, like you can still hang out while doing things, but it has to be the intention of like, we're spending time with each other. Maybe it's like a quick slow dance in the kitchen, like for a song, like it doesn't matter. Maybe it looks like a 30-second hug. I know that sounds uncomfortable, but there's beauty behind that. You should try it today.
Definitely. 30 seconds. I will. I'm going to try that because 30 seconds can be a kind of a long time.
It is a long time, but what you'll notice that after the first, I don't know, like 5 or 10 seconds, your bodies kind of just like relax and you melt into each other and you're able to savor in the physical connection that you build over just like, okay, bye. You know, it's like very casual. Like even when the kiss, like when was the last time you had like a really good kiss, not make out, but like a good kiss, like a, I love you, I feel you, like that kind of kiss, not like, okay, have a great day, bye. Like, very shallow.
Yeah.
Still good, but shallow.
Right. Right. And I think like, when you're scheduling or making an intention to do something together too, like we live in such a world now where we're always on our phones and we're in front of screens and like you could be in the same room, but you're both like on social media or you're checking your email or you're writing work email and like, that's not spending time together.
No.
Like there's a total difference, you know, like you there can be is. In the same room together, but not spending time together.
Yeah. And it goes back to the intention and also asking, you know, like if you're going to spend time with each other, then say, hey, let's put our phones down and like do whatever. I don't know, exercise together, stretch together, do something together. It doesn't have to take 20 minutes. It could be 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. Like something to have that point of connection on a regular basis is really important. Otherwise you lose it. And it's like, how do I get back to that place? I don't even know because we've lost our routine.
So I wanted to ask, I wanted to go back to what you're saying in the very beginning. For people that like are kind of scared about how their relationship is, I guess, based on what their examples have been. It's pretty amazing that you took it upon yourself to like get the self-help, you know, and navigate through that and come out the other side. And obviously now it sounds like you're in a wonderful, healthy relationship and you have two kids and, you know, it's great, but how do you get there?
It really does take working on yourself, having the courage to look in the mirror and think, where can I improve? Mm-hmm. And not from a place of resentment, because I hear a lot of women, why do I have to do everything? Why do I have to work on myself? What about him? Well, the beauty behind my coaching, where I only work with women, the beauty behind that is as soon as you transform yourself, everything in your life just seems different because you're able to look at it through a different lens. You're able to approach your husband differently and not be as impacted by his reactions, because then you understand that it's coming from a place of fear. Because that's what it is. Like, hurt people hurt people. Like, I don't care if he's spewing words at you. It's like, whoa, like that is just obnoxious or disrespectful. It's coming from somewhere. Everyone has a reason for why they do the things they do. So if you're in a place where you're like, it's your fault, you suck, it's not me, then obviously you're going to be like, how can you talk to me like that? Instead of coming from compassion, like, what are you needing right now that's causing you to need to behave like this towards me? Mm-hmm. You know, what can I do to support you instead of bashing heads all the time? Mm-hmm. So it truly does take looking at yourself, where you are unhappy with your own life, so that you can fill your own cup. Because truly at the heart of it, we are all needing our own love, not other people's. Like, that is nice to have and, you know, a great thing to have in your life. But at the end of the day, if you're not even loving yourself, how can you expect other people to understand how to love you?
Mm-hmm. Right. Focusing on you, which is a hard thing to do, especially as you become a parent.
It is, but again, back to intention. If this is your goal, you're going to make the time for it. And again, it doesn't have to take an hour a day. One method that truly transformed my life is The Miracle Morning. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it is a phenomenal book. It's all about making time for yourself, starting the day off your way on your own terms. Like, as a mom, you know that we need sleep. And so oftentimes you're waking up as late as possible so that you can get as much sleep so that you can be the best version of you. Well, what if it wasn't just about sleep, but rather starting your day, doing whatever you wanted, not having some baby or toddler tugging on you, asking for things, and like, just like, oh my gosh, like, is it noon yet? Is it that time? You know, like, but having this like self-care routine in the morning is just like been transformational for me, because then it's like, I start off the day feeling like I have this like armor on me, like, okay, I'm ready. I got everything I needed to do in the morning. That's just for me. Mm-hmm. What do you guys need? I'm here. You know, so it's like so different.
Yes. I have a really hard time with this because I am like, I'm a sleeper. Like, I need my sleep, but I'm also a night owl. I'm not a morning person.
But so, you're telling yourself that.
I know, right? I'm telling myself that. I need to change.
You're subscribing to that. Yes. You're subscribing to, I'm a night owl, so therefore I cannot go to sleep early. But if your priority is to start off the day, you know, full of intention and like just feeling like you're on top of the world, then you might go to sleep a little bit earlier so that you can wake up a little bit.
So I can do that. And it's helpful. I mean, when I do that, when I do wake up before my kids, because oftentimes I don't, I wait, what you're describing, I wait till they wake up and I get up. Yeah. I'm like, why am I going to get up earlier than them? But when I do that and do something for me, it is amazing how recharging it is. Like, yeah. If you haven't tried it, try it.
You're like a completely different woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what if life were like that every single day? How amazing would that be?
Oh, I know. Just got to set that alarm, man, and actually get up. So why don't you tell people a little bit about like how to find you and kind of like really what you do, what kind of things you can help with?
Yeah. So I love to hang out in my Facebook group. It's called Marriage and Motherhood. And I'll give you the link to share with people. But if you want to search on it in Facebook, it's Marriage Ampersand Motherhood. And in that group, it is just a group full of supportive women who are going through the same struggles. And I offer regular trainings on how to approach your marriage so that you can have that thriving marriage through every stage of motherhood. And empower yourself to know that you can change things around and you don't need him to be on board, because as you change, he will change too, because he's no longer dealing with the same version of you. And I also work one-on-one with women. We do coaching in a way where you get to really dive deep into yourself and learn about who you are, why you are the way you are, and how it impacts your marriage, and learn the tools that you need to make sure that your marriage has a thriving future. And that means working on your communication, working on your approach, really working on how to prioritize it in a sustainable way. That's not like I only have like, you know, like you, where it's not like you are juggling a million balls in the air, but rather what works for your individual life in a way that feels good to you. So if you are really struggling with connecting with your partner and you need help, and I don't want to have to spend hours on end reading all the books and like figuring out how to apply it to my life, then coaching is probably the route for you. And if this is you, I do offer a free call where we can figure out what's going on, where you want to go, how to get there, and whether working together is the best thing for your marriage.
Awesome. And I will, put all of the links in my show notes so that Perfect. People can easily click and find if you're listening to this on the go. And yeah, is there anything else you want to share?
No, go be happy.
Go be happy. And if you're not, you can get help.
Yes.
Self-care, people.
Yes, self-care is everything.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for just providing tips and your insight. And again, if anybody out there, if this is resonating or you're just thinking like, we're kind of in a rut and I need some help, Michelle's got some great resources. So just don't feel like it's only you, because I think changes when you become a parent and add children even to the mix are totally normal. And, but you can do something about it. That's the point.
You're not hopeless.
Yes. Yes. Okay, well, thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. Head over to the show notes for guest contact information and information and links that we discussed in today's podcast. We would love for you to connect with us at Instagram or on Facebook. We're at Sweetest and Toughest Job. And we really appreciate any ratings or reviews you'd like to leave if you have just a minute or two. Special thank you to Makai Pace for all the original music used.